What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 17. Not since Bonnie and Clyde have two people been so good at being bad hosting a podcast. I am your co-host, Ryan. My co-host...
I'm Dave. I call Clyde in the scenario.
That's fine, because honestly, between the two of us, I probably would look better in a little dress.
I wear some heels like a man, though.
Well, then I was going to say, if you're gonna try and outdo me for who's a better-looking chick, then fuck you. You got to be Bonnie. The reason why we're talking about Bonnie and Clyde is that particular last bit of nonsense I just threw out is a tagline from a movie that we talked a little bit about last week. If you listened to last week's podcast, or if you're brand new and you have a good idea of what that movie might be, zip your answer over to us in an email at moviesonup@gmail.com. On our website, moviesonup.com, you can follow our link to our Facebook page, which you can leave it there, or get at us on Twitter at moviesonup. We try and ask every week that we get some submissions, and maybe eventually when we do, from someone that we like, and it's correct, we'll send you out some kind of a prize pack. And
We have a prize pack, we'll take care of it.
Well, and there is, funny you ought to bring up the prize pack, because something that I'm kind of waiting on in the prize pack is something we'd like to address right now, and that is...
Yeah, we need a logo.
Yeah, we have one.
Our logo looks like... Here's the thing with our logo. I drew up the logo on a sketch pad to show a buddy that can actually draw how to do it, how I wanted it to look, and he kind of never got back to me. So I put that into paint and colored it. And it looks like a 2-year-old colored it. It's a Microsoft Paint coloring of a picture I drew in a sketch pad and took a picture of with my camera. So needless to say,
it looks awesome.
Sloppy. I love the design of it. So if you have an eye and you know how to do it, if you could touch up our logo and make it look good how it is, that would be awesome.
What Dave is saying is if you have creativity and a vision, don't use any of it. Just do what we're telling you.
Do exactly what I did, but make it look better.
Exactly. So if you can do that, tweet at Dave and I'm sure.
Or at Movies On Up or Movies On Up.
I guess that's what I was saying, because it's like if you tweet Movies On Up, you're really just tweeting Dave.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
Yeah, Ryan.
There's probably all sorts of shit about me on that Twitter that I know nothing of.
I forget to tweet. I don't really do much.
Well, that'll give you an excuse if somebody tweets to you with a new logo.
But as for episode 17, we got a lot of news, including news on Dark Tower, Justice League, and Jim Carrey. A handful of trailers, including Birds and Hitchcock, a stripping Disney actor, and some butter sculpting. We're also going to take a look at summer 2012, just kind of look back on it and see what stuck out, what made some money, what our thoughts on it were. Just take a look back at it.
First, we're going to go ahead and take a look back at last week, the past week. There were three movies that came out, and we were really trying to come up with a way to do our typical over-under. We made such a mess of it. Even going back and trying to review the tape, we still have no idea what the hell we were talking about. Those three movies that came out were Premium Rush, Hit and Run, and The Apparition. And whatever the over-under would have been, should have been, could have been, just under. That was the answer.
The best showing from those three, Premium Rush, which there was a lot of promotion put into this.
Lots of trailers.
This and Hit and Run were both heavily advertised. Premium Rush opened at number 8 with $6 million.
The $6 million movie.
That's on a $35 million budget. That one's got a long hill to ride up. Eh? See, that was Bicycle.
That one was flat.
In not so bad a shape, Hit and Run opened at number 10. It brought in $4.5 million just on the weekend. And if you count it from its Wednesday opening, $5.7 million, which that movie they made for $2 million.
$2 million.
Yes. That's a Dax Shepard, like...
Dax Shepard, Bradley Cooper.
I mean, but Dax Shepard, like, wrote, and I think he directed it. Well, you got Dax Shepard wrote and directed it.
Yeah.
Kristen Bell is sleeping with him. So, like, Tom Arnold, he'll do anything for some crackers. And it just... I don't know, Bradley
Cooper. So $1.5 million was for Bradley Cooper's blue eyes?
Yeah, but...
Worth it.
So, I mean, it's just under $6 million already off of $2 million, so you can't really count...
It's a hit.
Yeah, kind of. You can't really count it a bomb. The Apparition, you probably can. Also fairly heavily promoted, opened at 12th. with 2.8 million. Actually, it's not that bad because that was only 810 theaters, but it's still only a 3,500 per screen average. So those were the openings.
Not a great weekend for movies.
No.
Let's put it that way.
But Sleepwalk with Me, one screen, $65,000.
All right, nice.
And that screen that it was showing on, was Mike Birbiglia and Ira Glass did a Q&A after every showing.
Jesus.
So $65,000 on one screen.
And Ira Glass produced that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Opening wide, it jumped up to, you know, it went from about 70 screens to just over 1,000. 2016 Obama's America.
Obama's America.
Yeah, the anti-Obama documentary. It went wide this week and brought in $6.5 million for 7th place. It so far has earned $9 million, which is the highest earning right-wing documentary ever.
So, I'm trying to think, like, have there been that many? Like,
no.
I guess when people think of documentaries, mostly it is left-wing.
Yeah, yeah. So
good for you, Republicans.
Yeah.
Get into the fight.
Yeah, so, but as far as the top, The Expendables 2 held with $13 million for number one. Bourne Legacy, it dropped to $9 million. It's at $85 million right now. Doesn't look like it's going to hit that 117 mark that the first Bourne Identity did.
But it did better out of the gate than the first one.
Out of the gate,
right?
But it's not. It had the, it also had the biggest drop off of any of them.
Yeah.
So it's not going to make that. It'll probably hit the 100 million mark in the next week or two, but Paranorman, 8 million for third. The Campaign and The Dark Knight Rises is still fifth. So that's the box office.
So Batman's still making the money. We've just found out this week, Daredevil has confirmed it, that he will not be leading the Justice League. Ben Affleck has said, I'm not doing it. So Warner Brothers is now focusing on the efforts of getting the Wachowskis. That's what we have to call them now. We can't.
Yeah.
Really, okay.
Because right, there's a dude and a chick now.
The politically correct term, the Wachowskis, trying to get them to sign on to direct. I mean,
Warner Brothers loves Cloud Atlas, but
it looks neat.
It looks neat, but you don't know. It's risky to put this.
They can direct an action movie, though. I mean, Matrix,
yeah, well,
I'd say what you want, was a good
action
movie.
Yeah, but look at this point in their career, are they living off of the name? Because the Matrix put them on the map.
Maybe they were. Speed Racer sucked.
Second and third Matrix, nobody liked.
I didn't like the first one, so
Speed Racer sucked.
Yeah.
Like, that was their last thing before Cloud Atlas.
Right.
If Cloud Atlas comes out and is a horrible failure,
well,
and
yeah,
you're
then,
putting Justice League in their hands.
Yeah, then you've got problems. But, I mean, the studio seems to like it. From what we've seen, it looks pretty cool. So I would think at this point, you know, there's at least a good chance that, I mean, if you look at the Matrix as one, you know, then there may be two for
as
three.
As the one?
Well, yeah, as the one.
The reasoning makes sense from Warner Brothers because they like Cloud Atlas, that it's a large ensemble cast that showcases the entire cast, but yet the individuals still get to shine.
Which is what we said Whedon did so well in Avengers.
So they like that they managed to do all that, and it's still, you know, Tom Hanks still gets to be highlighted. Mm-hmm. They highlight everybody and the group at the same time, which is exactly what Whedon did. So they seem like an odd choice for me, but I understand the reasoning.
Yeah, and I think if the Wachowskis do end up directing Justice League, that'll be a very different movie than, you know, what the Avengers was, and, you know, what the sequel will be like.
I mean, I'm curious. I'm curious where Warner's goes with it, because apparently the script's pretty dark. So if you're gonna have a Justice League movie, are you gonna go for that Dark Knight kind of tone? Are you gonna have a superhero team up movie that's dark? Like, that's weird to me.
I think that's dark. That's obviously worked. The Batman ones did. Still waiting to see kind of what Superman ends up being, but by all accounts, that's going to be a little darker. So, I mean, those are, you know, two of the main horses in the Justice League. And if that's the direction they're going, then fine.
It just seems risky.
It does. But, I mean, at this point, we've been talking about this movie for so long. They have to do something. And at least the Wachowskis are somewhat, we can argue, are bankable directors. So, I mean, they're putting it in the hands of a couple of folks that have done big studio movies before. They're familiar with large budgets. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Warner Brothers not going dark. with a dark tower. Ron Howard and Brian Grazer's 3-movie, 2-miniseries epic that was supposed to be an adaptation of the Stephen King novels has been shot down again. It was turned down by Universal last summer, and Warner Brothers passed on the project earlier this week. Now, Media Rights Capital has stepped in. They're trying to work out a deal to fund the project, but they don't have any kind of relationship with any distributors or TV networks. So if that kind of falls through, then the movie aspect of this might just kind of get scrapped in favor of just a miniseries.
See, this happened over the course of a week. Like, this is a lot of... Early last week, Warner Brothers shot him down, and that was kind of... You already got shot down by Universal. You got shot down by Warner Brothers. Those are two of the more money-making studios that offer everything you need. So that's when they started thinking, like, maybe we just go to HBO. We try to do a miniseries. Not even a miniseries, like a show.
Yeah.
Like, let's do a show that we can carry on for seasons. And then Media Rights Capital, who they've been... They've got money. They've been throwing money behind a lot of movies. Like, they've been funding stuff that's turning into hits. So they have money, but they don't have anything else that studios have. They don't have distribution. So, I mean, it's likely that if you know, Media Rights does fund it,
you could
it's
see
possible
one of these
that Universal or Warner Brothers says, sure, we'll make money on something we don't have to pay for.
Exactly.
And then they'll still get a cut of it on passing. But Universal and, you know, Warner Brothers...
They don't want to foot the entire bill.
They don't want to foot the entire bill, and they have ends with TV networks already. Media Rights doesn't offer that, so it kind of makes them a free agent where you're basically pitching it from scratch. You're selling the idea of a TV show. Like, it probably sounds really boring, because it really is, but I'm fascinated by it. The project seemed dead in the water once Warner Brothers said no, but then, I mean, if they get the money to do it...
I kind of think that the TV route is sort of the way to go anyway. I mean, we've seen some kind of more concept television adaptations of literature. I mean, I'm thinking specifically of The Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, that have done very, very well on television. I think that with as ambitious as this project seems like it would be, you know, from a storytelling aspect, that they would almost have to go with HBO, with, you know, somebody that has a little bit more money to splash around. And, you know, we've seen Stephen King stuff before in miniseries. I think we're kind of, even Bag of Bones, which was just like, I think last summer or something.
Yeah, but that's a miniseries. That's different than...
It's different than a complete series. I understand.
Because here's the thing is if you try to sell it as a show, where's your, you know, are you trying to sell 7 seasons at a time, like at once, so that you know... You know, here
you
we're going to cover
wrap
everything.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, are you trying? It's risky, because if you sell it and you go that route and then you do one season and then you pull the plug, it's almost like, why start? Like, there's so much story there that if you're going to start it.
Well, I mean, the only thing I can think, and it's not it's going to make anybody any money that's making the show. But, you know, if you start, you do a season, you do 2 seasons, you don't get to finish it. You know, maybe it sells some more books. And that, I mean, you know, that
you know
would be fine
who,
for Stephen King.
You know who, out of left field, would make sense for the TV aspect of it? Netflix.
Yeah.
Because their original programming, they're willing to commit.
That Lilyhammer.
They committed to 3 seasons, I think, yeah. Right off the bat. And that's what gave them the edge over HBO. Arrested Development, they committed to 2 seasons. Like, they're committing to multiple seasons at a time. So... And then you're not really up against sweeps.
Yeah, and there's you know, some of the things that work out well for Netflix is people can just kind of gang watch it. Usually when those shows go up, like I think when Arrested Development goes up,
they're putting the entire season.
So you'll be able to sit down and watch it like a movie.
Do the mini series, put it up on Netflix all at once, release the movie a month later. It's interesting, and I don't think this is the last of this story.
No, I don't think so. This is, I mean, obviously, you know, when it got shot down by Universal, that wasn't the last of the story. So, I mean, this thing does seem to have Pet Sematary-like lives. But I'm sure we'll be talking about it more in the future. Something we talked about in the past during our movies that should be remade, could be remade, would be better with a remake. One of the ones that I mentioned was Videodrome.
Not just one of the ones. Your number one.
Was it my number one?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Well, guess what? It is getting remade by commercial director Adam Berg. We'll remake David Cronenberg's movie. He will be modernizing the story and kind of adding nanotechnology in a larger scale, which I think is exactly what I was hoping would happen.
Yeah, it's making it a more stake. It's raising the stakes, essentially.
It is.
And it's making it a large-scale sci-fi thriller.
It was very, you know, sci-fi. Some of Cronenberg's stuff is very sci-fi, but it's also very dated. I think they do need to kind of reevaluate and see, all right, it didn't happen exactly like Cronenberg said it would, but there are things that kind of have happened that are addressed in Videodrome, and I think they can be kind of take what works and then retool the stuff that's just nuts.
And I said it'd probably be best with a director that has like an own vision. It kind of does. If you go back and look at his commercial portfolio, he has like a vision to him. So this Adam Berg, it's weird that this kind of project is his feature film debut, but I'm interested.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I am kind of interested to see. It was my number one, apparently, on things that should get remade. So I guess it'd be kind of
I could be wrong.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I mean, it was. All right, just like anybody's going to go back and check. It was my number one.
You should go back and check. It was episode, I don't know. It's called Let's Do This Again 13, or something.
Maybe.
Yeah. It was a fun one.
Yeah. No, it's available at moviesonup.com. Check it out. We also talked a little bit about this next film. I forget where. We talked a bit about Grindhouse at least once or twice. One of the better things about Grindhouse was actually, well, I think so. I liked the movie, but I thought one of the better things were the fake trailers that appeared before and in between the two films. And one of them, possibly, and Dave's already making a face, the most well-received of them was Eli Roth's Thanksgiving. According to Eli Roth, they have finally broken the story. Now, this was something we've all kind of known for a while, that they were going to make this movie. But according to him, now officially, they're going to make the movie. He's working on a full-length feature with his writing partner Jeff Rendell and clown writers John Watts and Chris Ford.
Clown, if you don't remember, is Watts and Ford made this fake trailer for Clown, which is an Eli Roth movie. They made a fake Eli Roth trailer. And Eli Roth loved it.
Is such an egomaniac.
Met them, paid them to turn it into a full-length film. So they're working on the full-length film of Clown now. But here's the statement. Here's the quote where maybe it's just me, but this comes off like I think Eli Roth has been hanging around Quentin Tarantino a little too much. Because listen to this quote and try to imagine it not said high on cocaine. Thanksgiving is going to happen. I'm working with the clown writers on it. We have a call scheduled tomorrow afternoon. Jeff Rendell, my co-writer on it, we have a very extensive treatment. We finally cracked the story and figured out how to really make it scary, and the reason to do it. I'm really excited about it. The clown writers wrote one of the best scripts I've ever read, and before John Watts starts shooting Clown, he's got a window. And Chris Ford, his movie Robot and Frank, just opened. Chris and John are going to write the screenplay with me and my writing partner Jeff, so we'll have a draft soon. Did you follow that?
It sounds like an 8-year-old. Like if you ask an 8-year-old, what did you do over summer vacation?
It sounds like an 8-year-old describing the plot of a movie.
Me and my friend Johnny wrote this movie called Clown.
Like, did you follow that?
No. So,
yeah.
No, they're going to make Thanksgiving. That's what the takeaway is. There's a whole bunch of other weird shit that's in that. Look forward to it. Probably come out around Thanksgiving. Maybe next
year. I think
year.
They actually want to do it next Thanksgiving.
That would make sense.
That gives them a year to write the script.
Yeah, Dave,
I don't think
this is going to be a long shoot. I mean, they're not making Citizen Kane here. Although, maybe that was mentioned in that rambling of a madman that you just read off to us. DreamWorks Animation has signed a distribution deal with Fox. It kicks in when their deal with Paramount runs out at the end of the year. The Croods will be releasing in March. That'll be the first DreamWorks picture to be distributed by Fox. And Fox is also going to continue with their own animation studio.
I only threw this in because we talked about it last week.
Yeah, we kind of did.
So
sort of an update.
Because Paramount, wasn't the news that they were starting their own animation studio or their animation division?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it makes sense now because they're not going to have DreamWorks. But then they go to Fox, who already has an animation division. So if you look at it this way, earlier this summer, Madagascar 3 came out, which is a DreamWorks picture. Then Ice Age 4 came out, which is a Fox picture. So under this new deal, that'd be Fox basically competing with itself. So, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be, they're going to stagger their releases and not do battle with themselves, but it's just weird that they have their own animation division and they didn't just grab the competitor. They grabbed somebody that's completely destroying them.
But I think that it leaves DreamWorks with a tie to a network.
Exactly. And which also, we talked about last week.
Paramount has a tie to a network now too. So, I mean, I think everybody gets what they want and, you know, there's more money for everyone.
Yep.
David Hayter's Wolves finds new life. The long-in-development directorial debut from the X-Men writer has landed Lucas Till from X-Men First Class and Jason Momoa as the leads in his sexual awakening in the form of werewolves movie. Let that sink in for a little bit. Merritt Patterson has also joined the cast. Dave Isley, the Oscar winner for makeup when he did the makeup for The Wolfman, will be, believe it or not, doing the makeup for this werewolf movie.
This window closed. It should be dead. This was started developing in 09 or 10 when this was like the male version of Twilight. Essentially, like he wanted to take the same ideals and just make it male-centric with like this, like werewolves is a symbol for sexual awakening. Lucas Till's accused of killing his parents and runs away to a town where Conan is there and all hell breaks loose. Like, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. I don't think any male I know is clamoring for the male version of Twilight.
Exactly.
To me, it sounds a bit like the male version of Jack and Diane, which is not really a sexy werewolf movie, but was supposed to be a sexy werewolf movie.
So, yeah.
So there's going to be a couple sexy werewolf movies, but probably neither of them will be sexy.
No.
So, moving right along. Todd Phillips looking to take a risk with The Gambler, possibly taking a slight departure from comedy to remake the 1974 movie about a college professor in debt to the mob. William Monahan from The Departed is providing the script.
I hope he takes a departure from comedy. I hope this isn't like a Longest Yard scenario where he does a remake just in his style. The Gambler, I think, could be cool remade. I don't think it needs it, but it's, you know, it's going
to
start.
Sometimes you got to know when to hold them. And no one to not make a remake. And maybe this is
this isn't
times.
Needed. It definitely isn't needed with Todd Phillips.
Cameron Crowe lines up Beautiful Boy for when he's done making his current movie with a beautiful girl, Emma Stone, the Hawaiian rom-com, yet untitled, which is why we refer to it as Hawaiian rom-com. He will write and direct based on David Sheff's novel about a family dealing with their son's meth addiction. Sounds hilarious. He will also work in elements from the book, Tweak, which was written by Sheff's meth addict's son.
This sounds like an awesome Cameron Crowe project. Like, you're adapting the dad's book about dealing with a meth addict's son, but you're also adapting the meth addict's son's book.
So you're getting it from both sides,
which is awesome. And this seems like a Cameron Crowe type story.
I think Cameron Crowe is unique in that I don't know that he has a type of story. He's just a good storyteller.
No, he doesn't have one type of story, but you can hear a plot synopsis and think like, oh, that sounds like something Cameron Crowe would do.
Yeah.
That sounds like something he would do well.
Yeah, so, and I'm glad he's back. Like, you know, we kind of mentioned Emma Stone.
We bought a zoo. He hadn't, but that was his first in a while.
Yeah, and I didn't see that, so technically he's still not
back.
It was
pretty good.
Until I see
it. It was okay.
All right, fair enough. Stephen Gaggin opens up a candy store. The Siriana director and traffic writer will be directing the crime thriller with Denzel Washington, Brad Pitt, and Christoph Waltz being targeted to star.
Yeah, there's not much on the script other than it's a crime thriller with two meaty male lead roles. That's why Brad Pitt and Denzel Washington, their names are out there. They've been approached. Jamie Foxx also wants to be involved, but sorry, Jamie Foxx. Denzel Washington, so...
Who knows? Maybe after Django, you'll change your tune.
Yeah,
a little bit.
And then Christoph Waltz, that Stephen Gaggin wants him and made an offer right away once he got the job. So,
Uncharted: Drake's Fortune moves on with new writers. With a recent departure of Neil Berger, the studio has tapped Marion and Cormac Weberly of National Treasure 1 and 2 fame to rewrite the script.
Which makes sense because Uncharted is just the National Treasure movies in video game form, essentially.
Pretty much.
With a better lead character.
Yeah.
So, like, no director right now. David O. Russell was on for
it. No director.
And he had Wahlberg, but whoever the director is, cast Nathan Fillion.
I was just...
He is Nathan Drake, 100%. So...
Yeah, I think that'll be the thing for me, and I think that'll be the thing for most people.
Because they're looking to make it a franchise.
Yeah, and
that's why you
could.
Bring in the National Treasure writers, because this is more franchisable than that, I
and
think.
And I mean, the game's done very well. It's got two sequels to it, so it's definitely franchise-worthy. With his newfound free time, Neil Berger of Limitless and The Illusionist writing credits is looking to cash in on the teen young adult novel craze. He's in talks to direct Divergent from a script by Evan Doherty, Snow White and the Huntsman writer.
I don't even want to describe the plot because it doesn't make any sense. It's somewhat similar to Hunger Games, and that it's supposed
but it's Divergent from.
Yeah, and then the second book is called Insurgent. It's a trilogy. The third book's not out yet. It just
Trivergent.
It sounds terrible.
I don't read books, especially not young adult teen books. So
I
know nothing
them.
About this.
I work
care.
Around them, so I see them.
Well, you can.
And this one just sounds ridiculous. It's a girl that when you hit a certain age, you have to pick what you do for the rest of your life, like a bee. But she could either pick to be like her family, or she can pick to be who she is, but then there's a love thing in it. It just sounds fucking terrible.
And I'm sure the movie will be that much better. In other post-apocalyptic teen-slash-young-adult adaptation news, Wes Ball signs on to direct The Maze Runner, which I can only assume is about a maze.
It's a fucking terrible book. This one I've actually read. This is also, I think it's a trilogy. I didn't read the rest. I think Scorch Trail's a second, and I think there's a third one. It's fucking terrible. It's put in a maze. It's fucking awful. Like, it's so stupid. It's so dumb. Fuck these movies.
Man, he's got an angry face. Talks have broken off with David Fincher to direct Angelina Jolie in Cleopatra. Studio is now targeting Ang Lee.
I don't care. Yeah, I don't think there's a director that you can attach that makes me care about that movie.
Disney considering a reboot of The Rocketeer.
I'm for it if they hire Joe Johnston. Joe Johnston's wanted to do a sequel to the one he made. Let him reboot the franchise. Let him update it. Let him just redo it. Like, it could even be like a Superman Returns thing where you don't... I don't know how many people remember the 91 version.
I remember it.
But it was so...
I remember it being very Art Deco.
It was so good.
Which I like.
It was really, really
good. I like
now.
I didn't like it at the time. I thought it sucked.
It was really good. So if he's involved, I'm all for this.
Kevin Costner is officially involved as Jack Ryan's mentor in Kenneth Branagh's reboot. He will also be playing the same role Christopher McQuarrie's Tom Clancy adaptation Without Remorse. The studio is targeting Tom Hardy for the lead of Without Remorse.
We had mentioned that Kevin Costner was going to be in Jack Ryan. I didn't know they were going to cross the character over into the Clark movie, which that's what Without Remorse is. It centers on the Clark character, who they want Tom Hardy to be, which... All right, I'd see it.
Yeah, I'm sure you're fine.
Christopher McQuarrie and Tom Hardy, yes.
And Tom Clancy, yes. Kick-Ass 2 targeting Jim Carrey for the role of Colonel Stars. Cast also adds Lindy Booth as Night Bitch and Andy Nyman as Tumor.
I think they're aiming high, but I think whatever. He was a fan of the first movie. He's openly a fan of the first movie.
I don't mind Jim Carrey. Like that,
I don't,
I think
if
that
he's
would
acting,
turn some people off. But.
I could see him doing the character if he wants to do it well, but I can also see the character if he wants to do it like Jim Carrey.
Like Edward Nygma.
Yeah. So, I mean, it'd be cool for the movie because it'd be some, but I just, who do you go after that? Circus? Andy Circus?
That would be great, but I don't think he'd do it. Hugh Laurie, no longer in the house when it comes to RoboCop. He will not be playing the villain in the reboot. The studio possibly looking at Clive Owen to take over the role.
That's kind of disappointing. I like Hugh Laurie, but I like Clive Owen.
I was going to say, I've not seen 10 minutes of House, so...
I haven't either, but I like... Hugh Laurie's just one of those dudes that I think is cool.
I like Clive Owen, so... This,
I do too.
This doesn't really tamper my excitement about the RoboCop movie. Charlotte Riley to fight aliens Groundhog Day style alongside Tom Cruise in All You Need Is Kill, which will be changed to the Bitch of War, right?
Which this kind of, I think, means Jessica Biel is going to be the Bitch of War. Charlotte Riley, I fucking love. I have the giantest crush on her. She's gorgeous and engaged to Tom Hardy.
Wait a minute, we just got a tweet from...
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah, we just got a tweet from Anna Kendrick. She's like, what the fuck, Dave?
I tweeted.
She's listening live. She's the
person. I tweeted her about raising our kids the other day and told her we could send them to boarding school in London if she wanted them to have the accent. She didn't respond.
Man, you know
what? So I think she's still thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm sure she's mulling that over.
But I like Charlotte Riley. I think All You Need Is Kill is going to be awesome.
I think all it needs is a title change, and then I'm down with it. But, I mean, are you not impressed with me for remembering what movie this was this time? Finally?
Finally.
Yeah, I've misidentified about four other movies as this one, and then we've talked about this three or four times, and I always say, what is that one? But now I think I'm on board. 4-year-old Vivian Jolie Pitt on board to play a younger version of Elle Fanning's Snow White in Disney's Maleficent, starring, of course, her mom's.
So Angelina Jolie is going to be the adult version of Maleficent, and then her daughter is going to be the baby version of Elle Fanning.
Right. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things is an actress. Oh, snap.
Elle Fanning and Angelina Jolie are both actresses.
I don't think Angelina Jolie is much of an actress. I like Elle Fanning.
Ask her Oscar what they think about it.
I don't give a shit. Kat Dennings officially returning for Thor 2. I know you're relieved about that.
Like, it was needed. It was up in the air because of she's on a stupid show now.
I don't give a shit about schedules. Fuck schedules. They've also scheduled this guy, Adewale Adeniyi, as a second villain. And I'm sorry.
He's from Lost.
That's a tough fucking name.
Yeah, I think he was on Lost. He might have been on Lost.
Was he the wet kid?
The what?
I don't know. There's a wet kid.
I don't know. I've never seen it.
All right. Josh Brolin is going crazy for the Storm. He's set to star in the survival movie directed by Sean Penn in a role that Penn once considered himself for.
Just a survival movie where a little kid has to survive, and I guess the dad is just in flashbacks, because I'm pretty sure the dad dies in the crash. I could be wrong.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, Chuck Norris will not be returning for Expendables 3.
I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say that I care, but I haven't seen Expendables 2 yet, so I don't know if that makes a bit of difference, if he was really in that much of the second one, so whatever. John Travolta, rumored to star in the Toxic Avenger remake. I don't know which part of this is more disturbing.
I know, this is one of those that's like, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Because there were reports like, oh, John Travolta's going to play Toxic Avenger. I don't think he'll be the Toxic Avenger if this happens. I think he'll be in it, but I'll believe it when it happens.
Who's doing the remake?
I forget. I don't even know if they have anybody on board yet.
I don't think you can remake a trauma movie. They would have to do it themselves. It just, whatever. Gus Van Sant's Promised Land will get a limited release in New York and Los Angeles in late December, which is all it needs to be eligible for this year's Oscars. It'll expand in January. The movie is based on a story by Dave Eggers and was scripted by Matt Damon and John Krasinski. Those two will also star on opposite sides of a small town versus big business drilling debate.
Yeah, we
sounds boring as shit.
Yeah, we
still
talked about this one, and I think when we first talked about it, we said it just seemed like Oscar bait.
Yep.
And they just solidified that by doing the stupid limited release thing that so many movies do in late December, where they just release it just to be eligible for the Oscars. I didn't realize Krasinski co-wrote it, though. That's interesting to
me. I
want
to say I knew that when I was reading about it the first time, but it didn't. I don't care.
It's about fracking.
Yeah. And not Battlestar fracking. That I would be interested in. That's a thing.
No, Matt Damon comes into town, wants to drill. John Krasinski, don't want him to. Go frack yourself.
Yeah.
I'm gonna frack off. You want to go to Frackle Rock? That's all I got. All
right. I was just waiting for that train to run its course.
Frack that train up. Frack that ass up. That's all I got.
The Minions are coming December 19th, 2014.
Frack yes, I'll see this.
There's another one we kind of talked about where the Minions from Despicable Me getting their own.
So they're in the summer of 2013 in Despicable Me 2, and then Christmas of 2014. So
sure. Okay,
a lot of Minions coming.
A lot of Minions coming. Lots of Star Wars coming. Episodes 2 and 3 will get September and October 3D releases in 2013.
That's weird. They're doing them a month apart. I think because nobody gives a fuck about these movies in 3D.
Yeah, the first one did not perform as well as they thought
because
it would.
Nobody likes that movie.
Well, yeah, it wasn't very good. But I think being that it was in 3D, that there were some people that were willing to kind of give it a try to see.
I think the word you're looking for is some idiots. that were willing to give it a try.
No, I gave it a try. I didn't think the 3D was that well done, to be honest with you.
No, it wasn't shot anywhere.
No, it wasn't. But if there's one person that will go back and rebuild things, it is Lucas. It just wasn't that impressive. And I think that they had already kind of got so far into the process with these two movies that it didn't make sense not to release
to
them. So they'll come out. They'll make money. I mean, I will see both of them. I'll tell you that right now. But obviously, they're not making as big of a deal about it as they did the first one. And I think it's just because they realized that might have to just chalk these two up as a loss.
Yeah.
Traditionally, Star Wars movies, not really to be found too much in the fall. They're mostly summer releases, mostly May, which would make them summer blockbusters.
We had some this year.
Yes, we did have a couple.
So why don't we take a look back? It's almost September. September is Saturday. We've pretty much hit the last weekend of... We probably hit the last week of the summer releases a few weeks ago, because I don't think you can count.
With what came out since then, yeah.
Yeah, so we're heading into fall. We'll do a fall preview next week, so... We just want to look back on summer. What sticks out to you? Like, we talked about it briefly off mic. Like, what kind of sticks out to you about the, not necessarily movies you've seen, but like the stories of summer?
Two things, mostly. That we really didn't have any big tentpole movies that kind of flopped. I mean, I can remember, I don't know, it was Cowboys and Aliens last year.
It might have been 2 years ago.
Okay, I mean, that one kind of didn't do so well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about Green Lantern, and that kind of fell on its face. But for the most part, the movies this summer that were blockbusters did end up performing pretty well.
Yeah, and there weren't any that were really universally panned.
Yeah.
Like, Pirates of the Caribbean 4 made a lot of money, but for the most part was hated. You know, and last year we brought up Green Lantern. It just flopped. Like, it was anticipated, and it just died. This year you had Dark Knight, Spider-Man, Prometheus. Prometheus got some backlash, but for the most part it was well received. Like, all the movies people expected to be good were good. Or
maybe not great, but they
were widely
terrible.
Accepted to be good. Yeah. There wasn't one that expected to be good that people just thought sucked.
Right.
I mean, there were attempts from studios like Battleship, Abe Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I don't think anybody with a brain expected those movies to kill. So that sticks out to me. That's the first summer in a while that I can't think of a major big time flop. Like you said, tentpole films. There was no Van Helsing where, oh, we're going to make a franchise out of this, and then it just falls flat. Another thing that sticks out to me, Ted made $200 million. Magic Mike, on such a small budget, made $100 million.
Yeah, kind of the comedies we're taking a look at during our summer preview issue. You know, what we thought would do really, really well. And I think a comedy that we both thought would be pretty well received got pounded by those two.
I thought The Watch, like I said in our summer preview, we were guessing what would be our top three, like, grossing films. I said The Watch because there's always seems to be a comedy that just breaks out, finds an audience, and just keeps making money. And there was, but it was Ted.
Yeah.
Ted went over $200 million. The Watch... $33 million. So The Watch bombed. It hasn't even made half its budget back.
And, I mean, with the folks that were attached to that, you know, Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, Jonah Hill, like, you can't imagine any reason why that would have sucked as bad as apparently it does.
It did have some bad luck. There was the whole Neighborhood Watch thing. It did open a week after 12 people got shot in a theater. So, I mean, there's a lot of excuses you can make for it, but some movies overcome excuses.
Yeah,
but,
this one did not.
Yeah, so I said in the summer, my guesses were that The Dark Knight Rises, Brave, and The Watch would be the highest three earnings. I think you said The Dark Knight Rises, Spider-Man, and Brave, I believe, were your three.
Probably.
So,
I thought Spider-Man would make some money.
So this summer, Dark Knight Rises. We're not Marvel. The Avengers was in early May. We didn't count that as a summer movie. Dark Knight Rises, $422 million so far. Far and away more than any other summer release. Spider-Man second with $258 so far. Brave in third with $230.
That sounds pretty familiar, right?
Yeah, but then right behind that, Ted. 214. Yeah.
So neither of us saw coming.
No, if I had guessed that instead of The Watch, we'd have had the top four right there.
Yeah.
But I didn't. Madagascar, 213. Men in Black 3, 178. Snow White and the Huntsman, that one kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think being two Snow White movies, we kind of thought that maybe that's a little overkill. Mirror Mirror didn't do anything.
No.
This one got all the Snow White money.
Yeah, Snow White made 154, and then Ice Age 4 with 153, and then Prometheus right behind there at 126, and Magic Mike with 113. So there was a lot of money this summer made.
I mean, to me, it seems like movies either made a shit ton of money or they didn't make any. Like the three that came out, you know, last week, if they were going to bomb and perform poorly at the box office, just universally, nobody went to see them.
Yeah. And like late August, early September is rough because you're going from these summer popcorn movies into your more
award season movies.
Yeah, kind of. But I think what sticks out to me is that people didn't just go see garbage. Like, you had Rock of Ages come out. You had That's My Boy come out. They flopped majorly. Like, the movies that generally you can throw out in the summer and make a good bit of money, people weren't going to see. I think overall, I think moviegoers demanded more this summer. And that might be a trend that's starting.
Yeah,
that I mean, really Inception might have kicked it off to where you can release something that's not a tentpole in the summer and do well with it. So I'm hoping we're heading that way.
Yeah, I mean, that I think will be better for all of us in the long run. And, you know, maybe summer 2013, summer 2014, you know, we'll be talking about an entirely different crop of movies. I mean, we're still going to have the superhero movies. Those are already kind of slated for the summer. But, you know, the ones betwixt and between.
Your Teds, your Magic Mikes.
Yeah, we'll see some different stuff in the summer. You know, not just your blow 'em up du jour, which is fine.
Yeah. Speaking of blow 'em up du jour,
I think after watching most of these trailers, I'd like to kind of just blow this segment up.
This is a bad batch of trailers.
Yeah, they're not solid. The first one's pretty good.
The first one,
we're leading off strong. So, I mean, if you watch...
Then it's all downhill.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you watched a trailer for The Impossible and you think, shit, this doesn't look any good, you may want to, you know, pull the ripcord on this segment right now because it doesn't get better than this.
I almost cried during the trailer. Like, maybe it's because I do have kids and I'm a family dude. Like, it's a tsunami movie. It's
based on the 2004 tsunami that hit
Asia. Ewan McGregor and Naomi Watts are vacationing with their two kids. The three kids. Tsunami hits. Ewan McGregor ends up with two of the boys. Naomi Watts is separated with the other one. And it's them trying to find each other.
Based on a true story.
Yeah. This kind of movie isn't for everybody, but it looks good. It looks, for that kind of movie, it looks fantastic.
It does look good. And it's really weird because watching Obi-Wan and Naomi Watts, they look kind of like they should be brother and sister, not husband and wife. It looks strange. They just they look like they're from the same gene pool.
This looks like something that just requires acting. And I think that's two really good choices.
Oh, definitely. And even like one of the kids, the one that gets with Naomi Watts, seems like he's pretty strong too. He's kind of featured in the trailer. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be some good performances all around. If you try and watch a trailer for our next movie, you're not gonna be able to find it because it got pulled because of some strong acting by Vanessa Hudgens where she plays a stripper.
I think this is the first trailer we're ever gonna talk about that neither of us got to see.
We were both Frozen Ground. Late to the party.
Frozen Ground is the name. Starring John Cusack, Vanessa Hudgens, Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Vanessa Hudgens strips.
Yep. She does that. And I mean, I read about the trailer. There was all sorts of synopsises online right above where the trailer should be. And the movie sounds cool. John Cusack plays a serial killer that preys on harlots and ne'er-do-wells. And Nick Cage is an Alaska state trooper along with Dean Norris from Breaking Bad, Agent Schrader. And it's, again, this is based off an actual serial killer maniac in Alaska.
I want something good from Cusack. Like I like when Cusack takes chances like this and does something that's not just
a romantic comedy,
lovable heartthrob guy. Yeah. Like I like Cusack doing these kind of movies. They generally don't turn out okay.
Well, he's doing that Paperboy too, which you don't think is going to turn out okay, but it's something different for him. He's kind of playing what looks to be kind of the villainous role in that movie too. So, Our next movie is an HBO movie. It's called The Girl. It is the first of the Alfred Hitchcock movies that's coming out and probably going to be the shittier of the two.
I don't know. I love Toby Jones. This is Toby Jones as
Hitchcock.
Alfie Hitchcock. And Sienna Miller is Tippi Hedren.
Yeah.
While they're making the birds.
Yep.
I like Toby Jones a lot. I think he's going to nail it.
I guess I've not seen much of Hitchcock as Hitchcock, I guess. So I don't really know, you know, if he's going to, you know, I don't know how well he's nailing the character. But in the trailer, he does come off as this creepy son of a bitch that just really wanted to sleep with Tippi Hedren. Yeah. Which I guess I don't blame him, whatever. Really, from here on out, this is where we really, it gets barren, so to speak. The next trailer, called The Barons. And really, all I got to say about this is it's starring one of the less popular cryptozoological beasts that I'm aware of, and that's Bill Compton, the vampire formerly known as Bill Compton.
Yeah, it's Stephen Moyer.
Yeah.
It looks like they're letting him use his real accent.
Which is horrible.
That's his real voice.
I know, and it's Australian. Terrible. It's bad.
His American accent. I just don't think he should be allowed to talk. No. His American accent is terrible.
No, it's not good, but it's better than his Australian accent, which is real.
It looks like The Shining in the woods.
Yeah, sort of.
That's the vibe I get from it, except not good.
Yeah, I was going to get like a bad version of The Shining in the woods.
They go to the woods, and the devil lives there, and then Stephen Moyer goes crazy.
The Jersey devil lives there, which is kind of, you know, Ohio has the Grassman, West Virginia has the Mothman. We're getting into a whole different thing. You don't want to fuck with me on cryptozoology because I throw down. But yeah, the Jersey Devil is the local lore in New Jersey. I'm not sure if they've ever made a movie about it before. We've got plenty of Loch Ness Monster. We've got plenty of the Bigfoot, the Yeti.
Do we have plenty of Loch Ness Monster movies?
I don't know if we have plenty of them, but I think they've made them before. Either way, this movie's going to suck. It doesn't matter. It doesn't look good. It looks like a Sci-Fi Channel movie.
Yeah.
With
starring Stephen Moyer.
Yeah, a guy at the end of his career. The next one, this is absolutely a Dave movie. It's called Battle of the Year. It's in 3D, which would think you would qualify that as not being a Dave movie, but
it looks fucking terrible.
Really? Why does it look terrible?
It's not just that I hate Chris Brown. It's about fucking this world hip hop dance competition that the United States invented, but they haven't won in years. So they have all these hip-hop dance American kids that just can't get their shit together. So they get a washed-up, like, down-on-his-luck basketball coach to get them together.
Who doesn't? I mean, it's the dude from Lost. It's that Josh Holloway or whatever.
It looks
whatever.
Fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It's the second battle. Battleground USA was this summer with Marquise Houston. Like, we don't have
yeah,
to...
Yeah, it was. Wasn't it?
We don't have to put battle in every dance movie. It
we
looks
don't have
fucking
to have dance
stupid.
Movies.
No, I'm all for dance movies.
I know.
If they don't fucking blow like this one's going to.
All right, well, maybe we can push that one in a deep, dark hole, which is where our next movie came from. And it started so promising. Directed by Joe Dante, guy that did Gremlins. So you'd think that this could be kind of cool. But it's not.
You know, I'm intrigued by this trailer because you know what it looks like?
Like The Gate?
No, it looks exactly like The Gate.
Yeah.
But it looks like a horror movie for kids that's not a kids movie, if that makes any sense.
Like Gremlins.
Kind of, but more so. Like, it looks like it's made for preteen kids, like in that tweener range, but it's a legit horror movie.
I'm not sure it's going to be a legit horror movie. I don't think I'm willing to.
You don't think it's that spooky?
I don't even know what that means.
There's some I'm interested just because of Dante. Like,
yeah, I was too, but then I watched
the trailer.
He'll
forever have my heart.
Wow.
But I'm interested. I think the tone will be different. I think it'll be interesting.
No, we'll have to, I guess, wait and see on that one. I'm really hope. I don't want it to be bad, but it just, the trailer didn't do that much. Didn't do that much for me. A trailer for That's What She Said did even less for me. It's directed by Arlene from True Blood. So if you're a fan of that.
Oh, is it really?
Yep.
I didn't realize that.
Sure is.
Stars Anne Hesh.
Yep.
And maybe Alia Shawkat.
Yeah, she got kind of big.
It looks fucking terrible. Not only are you named after a joke that was in its prime
feels
five
like 10
years
ago.
Like, it just looks awful.
I think, in fairness to this movie,
no,
we are not the target for this.
I don't give a fuck.
Like, this is, I'm sure if you're a woman,
I'll watch the shit out of 13 going on 30. I'm not that demographic.
Oh, I like that one too. But I think if you're a 52 to 55 year old woman, you'll think this is hilarious because it hits all of the beats that I presume 55 year old women talk
it's
about.
It's Anne Hesh running around with a fat lady
yep.
and a nymphomaniac, maybe.
Yep.
Nymphomaniac, and Ali Shawkat.
They
it looks fucking terrible.
Talking about sexing.
It looks awful. It looks fucking atrocious.
So for all of our 52 to 55-year-old listeners that are female, like check this trailer out because you'll probably dig it. Anybody that's not in that demo, probably just skip it. Maybe check out the next trailer for Brian De Palma's Passion starring Rachel McAdams and Lisbeth Salander, Nomi Rapace. I saw the trailer
doing
all over...
it.
Yeah, doing it.
They're going to do it.
They're going to do it, but they don't show you that in the trailer, which is really the only reason to watch it. If you want to see some kind of weird-looking, Eyes Wide Shut-esque mask,
it looks like...
Single white female?
Yeah, it's like chicks eating another chick out while wearing a mask.
Is that in
or
the trailer?
Maybe I made
I think
that
you're
up.
Making that up.
I might have projected that.
I think so.
But it just it looks like something we've seen a million times.
Exactly.
It looks like the kind of movie you would... stay up for when you're 13.
Like Black Swan, a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, but not...
When did Nomi Rapace get so hot? How did that happen? When did that happen?
I don't know. I didn't see the Dragon films. You know, I saw Sherlock Holmes. She's attractive in that. I saw Prometheus. I think she... I don't know, maybe she's
pretty
attractive.
Girl.
Yeah.
But,
Accent's weird.
Yeah. No, it's I've seen this movie a million times.
A lot of
times.
Weird accents in this movie. Even Rachel McAdams sounds like a goddamn weirdo. But whatever. The next movie, and we mentioned it in the teaser, it's about butter sculpting. It's a movie called Butter, which the way that I could describe it, it seems like the Christopher Guest movie that's not a Christopher Guest movie.
And the way I would describe it, it looks fucking terrible.
I
know you disagree.
I totally do disagree. To me, it looks a lot like Best in Show. It's a really weird niche thing that the people that are into it are super into it, and the rest of us just kind of sit back and go, what the fuck's going on with you people?
I can see that. It looks like...
But the cast looks so good. Like, I love Ty Burrell. The dude's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's got a big role in it. I love Rob Corddry.
I do too.
He's in it. Jennifer Garner, I think, is playing a good role for her as just kind of like the uptight, kind of like ice bitch. And that, I mean, that seems...
And there's an orphan kid that wants to beat them all.
Yeah, a little black girl that is a hell of a butter sculptor.
Now, the thing I will give it...
And Olivia Wilde.
She's in everything.
Yeah, she's in this
one
too.
She's literally in every movie ever now. Like, when the fuck did that happen? But I'll throw out a movie that and this is weird. I say it looks fucking terrible, but the movie I'm gonna throw out that it looks the same tone wise. I love. It looks like it's got shades of Election.
Yeah, maybe.
Like it looks like it's got that kind of feel to it.
Trying to bring down kind of the preppy girl.
And I loved Election.
Yeah, I think you're wrong on this one. I really do, and I'm not just it's not because I've got my Garner glasses on. I mean, I think. That it's a strong cast, and I think it's going to end up being funny. Check out the trailer. Let us know what you think. You can tweet at us, at Movies On Up. Tell Dave he's a dumbass, because Butter looks awesome. Actually, I think your baby doesn't like Butter. Or she doesn't like the trailer for Birdemic 2.
It's probably Birdemic 2. She's got better taste than that.
Probably. Birdemic 2 is happening, and there is a trailer for it.
The fucking trailer is exactly like the trailer for the first one.
Yeah.
Where there's like a minute and a half setting up the entire plot. You don't need to do that in a trailer. And then it gets to fucking the birds.
What I am happy about is that it is a sequel to Birdemic. He didn't change anything.
It's exactly the same thing. I think this guy, he's either... I don't understand this director. He could possibly be the greatest actor of our lifetime.
I think he might be the smartest man in the room.
Because this has to be... performance art. Like, it has to be, because you watch interviews with him, he's so into it. Like, I can't believe that somebody is this terrible.
It is kind of rough. It's very much essentially Birdemic times two, because he actually has four lead characters.
The
now.
Zombies in the trailer made me laugh.
Oh yeah, there's zombies too.
That joke is set up well. That joke is set up very well. I enjoyed that. That's it.
Yeah.
I hated the first movie. I don't even like it from, like, an ironic viewpoint. Like, I don't even like, oh, it's so bad, it's funny. No, it's just fucking terrible. It's a waste of my time.
So I guess watching Birdemic 2 would be a waste of maybe 2 minutes of your time. I think it's worth checking out. Like, if you haven't gotten around to see it.
Are you talking the movie or the trailer?
I'm talking about the trailer. I mean, I can't really vouch for the movie yet because I haven't seen it, but check out the trailer for Birdemic 2. That's the last one we've got. I mean, if you've stuck with us this long.
That's probably the worst batch of trailers we've had.
Yeah,
in
I would
an episode.
Say, like, as a group.
Because I could go through my. The Impossible is the only one I even want to. Well, in the whole. Those two are the only ones I even remotely want to see, and if I miss them, I'll be all right.
Yeah, I'll take The Impossible and Butter, but, you know.
You can have Butter.
Thank you. I'm glad. Coming to theaters this week, we all can have Lawless on Wednesday, Oogie Loves and the Big Balloon Adventure also on Wednesday, and The Possession. That's the wide-release movies.
You may have saw it last week when it was called The Apparition.
Oh, yeah. Very,
do they look exactly the same?
They do look very similar.
One has hands in the mouth, yeah. And the other has hands on the mouth.
One of them has McNulty. It's the period one, but I don't know which of these is the period
The Possession,
one.
I think, is directed by Sam Raimi.
Either way, they haven't spaced out these movies long enough, so they're going to run together in your head like they're already doing for us. We're not going to have a clue as to what to do. Although, I would say the limited release ones at least do look like they're a little bit different. And we can kind of, a couple of them, we ought to be able to, four of them, we ought to be able to differentiate between. The Ambassador and Little Birds both come out Wednesday. Breathing, Bullet Vanishes, Flying Swords of Dragon Gate, For a Good Time Call, The Good Doctor, Joker, and The Tall Man, all out in limited release this week.
The Tall Man is the Jennifer Beal.
Tall guy movie where he's kind of maybe there's a dude there, maybe there's not.
Like this week, other than Lawless, there's nothing. Like even the Good Doctor. The Good Doctor.
You think so?
I think it looks pretty good.
That's the Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. Sam Raimi I produced Possession.
Okay.
But
is that the one with McNulty? Dominic West?
I don't know, man.
I didn't know if you were looking at the IMDb or not. I don't. No. You don't. If you don't have it handy, I don't care.
I don't.
Because I'm not going to see it, and probably neither will anybody else. Nobody last weekend went to see The Awakening. I mean, granted, this is Labor Day weekend. Maybe more people will be at the theaters.
And the thing is Lawless. I don't even know. Like, I think like 20, 25 million is best case scenario for Lawless, and whether it even hits that, I don't know.
If the movies last week would have performed better, would you have had a higher expectation for Lawless this week or is
kinda.
Last week's. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, but I'm kind of in the
kinda.
Same boat. So if we do 25,
you want me set 25 under for Lawless?
Does that sound you, if you think 25 is best case, you want to do 20?
Well, we're talking weekend. We're talking just the weekend.
Yeah.
So that's Friday to Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm going to go under. I think from Wednesday to Monday,
it'll be
in the 25 range, but I'm going to go under for the weekend.
I'll go over just because I'm going to hope that maybe people didn't see anything last weekend. Maybe it'll be holiday weekend.
I mean,
people
you got
will be
Shia,
out.
Yeah. Who has some draw.
It's got Jessica
got
Chastain.
Tom Hardy, Jessica Chastain, Gary Oldman, the cast,
yeah.
Guy Pearce. The cast is fantastic.
There's nothing else out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's the only thing I'm basing it on.
Over under 3 for The Possession.
What did Awakening make? Is it 2.8? Is that
something
what you
like
said?
That?
Shit, I'm gonna go over just because it's such a low number. I know the last one didn't.
Why not just sit on this for a month? If
you
put
come
this
out in October,
if you put this out late September or early October, it's gonna do so much better.
Well, maybe then we'll be bitching about it getting lost in VHS, and I don't even know if VHS comes out then. But that's a horror movie that I'm looking forward to. But typically that month is saturated anyway, so maybe that's why they didn't wait. But yeah, what do you have if it's gonna be at 3?
I'll go over.
Okay, so we both have over on that, over under on Lawless for the two of us. What should the good folks that don't... that's the oh shit.
Yeah. How about I cheat this week and I throw out a miniseries instead of... So we talked about miniseries.
All right.
It's from 08 or 09. It's a British miniseries called The Take. It stars Tom Hardy and Charlotte Riley. It's fucking awesome. And this is... it shows how electric Tom Hardy is, because he's the most despicable character. There is not one likable thing about Tom Hardy's character, but you cannot look away when he's on screen. It's so fucking good. Like, it's a cool story. I think it's only about 4 episodes.
So it's the take. Is it on Netflix? Where can folks find it?
It's good.
Folks can find it on British television.
The Take.
In the past.
Yeah, it's 08 or 09.
So good luck.
And you know what? I'll throw out a second one since we're on a
It'll be equally as hard to find?
Yes. The Shadow Line. It's another British miniseries. It's phenomenal. It's probably the best TV miniseries I've ever seen in my life, British or American. Stars Chiwetel Ejiofor. Phenomenal. So go watch. That's your week right there.
Yeah, so go to Britain and watch their television. Mine is going to be much easier for you to see. You can stream it on Netflix right now if you'd like, or, and I'm going to throw this out well in advance, on October the 25th at 8 o'clock, if you are in the Youngstown area, you can meet me down at Tinseltown, where the fellas from Riff Tracks will be doing Birdemic. That's right, motherfucker, Birdemic. It is total shit. It is unwatchable. The audio is such a goddamn mess. It cuts out, it cuts in. There are so many things that are wrong with this movie. It's so goddamn preachy, and you wouldn't think that a movie about some kind of sick birds could be preachy politically, but it is. But I still think that it's worth a watch, just to see the mess. And I mean, if you're going to see it, okay, maybe you don't want to waste, I think it's like an hour and a half. Maybe you don't want to waste an hour and a half of your life streaming it on Netflix. In that case, watch it with the Riff Track guys. Those are the dudes that did Mystery Science Theater 3000. They're hilarious. This movie is absolutely set up for Riff Tracks, and I'm pumped that it's going to be in Youngstown, and I'm going to be down there. It's a Thursday evening at like 8 o'clock. So that's what I'm doing. October 25th.
I'll be in bed.
That's fine. I didn't invite you. I invited the listeners.
Or you could watch British miniseries.
Those are your choices. You can watch British miniseries with Dave, or you can roll down to Tinseltown and watch Birdemic with me. Or, you know, you could lock yourself in a room with your computer, help us redo our logo, which you can probably send to us.
MoviesOnUp@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Tweet it to us.
Twit pick
at Movies On Up.
Yeah. Put it on our Facebook page.
Facebook page. Go to moviesonup.com. You can find us.
Those places?
Yeah, you can find me at Dave Bacella on Twitter, DaveBacella.com. I have another show called Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave. That is EricandDave.com, Eric with a K. That's all I got right now.
Well, that's all I got. Fix our logo, please.
If you're in the Cleveland area, Thursday, September 6th, at the Capitol Theater is an event for a movie I have a very bit part in. You can find all the details at clevelandweloveyou.com. There's going to be 7 or 8 short films from the directors of that movie. One of them is a music video that I was in. And then they're going to debut the trailer for the movie Cleveland, I Love You, starring Gillian Jacobs.
Busy Phillips.
Me.
Dave Bacella.
So if you're in Cleveland on September 6th.
Are either of those ladies going to be there?
No. Okay. I'm not going to be there either. None of the top 3 billed that I just named are going to be there.
All right. Well, isn't Eric's in that too, isn't he?
Yeah, Eric's also in
that. We're plugging his podcast, I guess we can say.
Yeah, Eric's also in it, in my scene.
Yeah.
He's in it longer than me.
All right, that's all we got for this week. Go ahead and do your homework assignments. We'll see you right back here next week. Keep it up.